Almighty God, to whom all hearts are known, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pause now in silence as we reflect our need for God's forgiveness in our own lives. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. And I do so under the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We join our voices as we sing, Word of God, come down on earth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. Christ eleison, Christ have mercy. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. And peace to God's people on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, look upon the hearty desires of your humble servants and stretch forth the right hand of your majesty to be our defense against all enemies. Grant this, we pray, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Our first lesson this evening is from Genesis chapter 12, the first 9 verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from the country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on and continued still going toward Negev. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this evening, which we read responsively, is Psalm 121, the first seven verses. I lift my eyes to the hills.
From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord,
the maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot be moved.
And he who watches over you will not fall asleep.
Behold, he who keeps watch over Israel
shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord himself watches over you.
The Lord is your shade at your right hand,
so that the sun shall not strike you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve you from all evil.
It is he who shall keep you safe.
The Lord shall watch over your going out and your coming in,
from this time forth forevermore.
Our New Testament lesson tonight, or epistle reading, is Romans chapter 4, various verses. Start 1 through 8, and then we pick up in 13 through 17. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, the forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works for his wages, they're not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of blessings of the one whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise of Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God in whom he believed, he gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees called Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. If I was to give you a title of my sermon, it would be A Total Makeover. A Total Makeover. How many of you like watching those house shows where they renovate homes, do a total makeover? Yep, my wife is addicted to that stuff. She watches it and then she thinks I should be able to do it. It's not going to happen. So a number of years ago, I had a real good friend. Her name is Jane. And I was living in Wisconsin, and Jane goes, hey, guess what? I scored Packer tickets. Would you like to go to the game with me? I said, absolutely. How many of you have ever been to Lambeau Field? Yeah, you put that on your bucket list. You got to go. You got to go to a game. It just happened that they were playing the Minnesota Vikings, so I was really pumped up. She said, well, this is the deal. I got the tickets, but you got to drive. I go, no problem. So we went to the game, and the game turned out great. Vikings won. And if you've ever been to a night game at Lambeau Field, it's just amazing. But then when you leave, it's a little different because there is so much traffic. And all the cops, they're getting you out of there, right? Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, go, go, this lane, And then when you get on the highway, no one is driving the speed limit of 70. They're all driving like 75 miles an hour. I mean, you are just really moving down the highway. And I remember we were just cruising, staying with traffic, and I go, man, if somebody puts on their brake, there could be one heck of an accident. And just when I said that, guess what? Someone put their brakes on, and you could see all the lights going blink, 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 blink. And I put my foot on the brake, and I was slowing down, and I was going like, oh, good. I am not going to hit the car in front of me. Whew. But I looked in my rearview mirror, and there was a car just barreling down. And I said, Jane, brace yourself. And boom. Not only did they hit me, but then I hit the guy in front of me. Well, pulled off to the side and talked to the guy that I had hit, and we exchanged information. But the guy that hit me in the back, he took off. He took off. Man, I was really upset and disappointed. And, you know, my car, I always babied it. It was a Ford Taurus, and I always took a lot of pride in keeping it clean. And I would always park it away so I wouldn't get those little dents and dings and stuff. Well, here you go. My car was damaged. Worst part is when the insurance adjuster came to my house, he looked at my car, he goes, yep, you got damage on the front, you got damage on the back. What about this damage on the side? I go, what damage on the side? The damage on the side. We're not going to pay for it. We'll pay for the accident piece, but we're not paying for that piece. And I go, it wasn't there before. You know, you're not going to convince him, right? Because he said you got hit in the back and you got hit in the front. That's just the way it's going to be. So, you know, I had to have a little humor about it and just kind of laugh about it. They weren't going to repair something that had been, you know, my car would have been partially fixed, so to speak. Well, frustrated that when I brought my car to the body shop, I would only get it back and it would only be partially fixed. And I kind of thought, really, it's not really worthy of a total makeover? I got to be thinking theologically, because I'm a pastor, about I'm glad that these insurance guys aren't God, because God would never do that, right? God would give you a total makeover. But I got to thinking about body shops. And so that leads me to our gospel text for today. Nicodemus, he's listening. And he's going like, there's something about this Jesus, the way that he's talking. There's a new kind of body repair that he's presenting that I've never heard before. You see, as a good Pharisee, a good Jew, I go to the temple and worship God all I can. When I have issues and when I want to debate things, I talk to other priests. And we have the Jewish tradition. That's what we're all about. But this Jesus, the things he's saying, he's offering a new fix, a new kind of repair needed for the faithful. So I'm going to go check this guy out. So he comes in the middle of the night. As you recall from biblical history and from studying, the Pharisees, they started in the 3rd century, because you see that it was a Hellenistic community that they were living in. It was kind of like anything and everything was going, right? And they were going like, wow, the thoughts and the practices and the philosophies and all this other religious stuff, it's really going against our grain, so we need to become stronger, more pious. So they became the Pharisees. They separated themselves. They were very rigid defenders of the Jewish tradition. And they had built up so much power that in Jesus' day they were beginning to abuse their power. And the Pharisees, when they hear Jesus, they're thinking, you know, this is going to cost us if people really start listening to this Jesus and these new concepts, these new ideas. So Nicodemus was a very curious Pharisee, and he wanted to understand this prophet Jesus. So Nicodemus comes in the middle of the night, and when I read scripture, I could have halted and said, hey, pay attention to the you in here, the you, Y-O-U, because in Greek, it's not like I'm talking just to you. In Greek, it's plural. I am talking to you. You see, Jesus was talking to a much larger crowd. He was fighting a much larger battle than just that evening conversation with Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus, he represented all the rigid rules and thinking and law and tradition and rituals, all the basics of God. We would say Nicodemus, he had head knowledge. Lots of head knowledge. So Jesus, he's wondering. Nicodemus, you're a teacher. You know a lot of stuff. People trust you in your opinions and all the things that you say. Kind of finding it hard, Nicodemus, that you don't understand the inner workings of God. I'm kind of finding it hard that you don't understand the power of the Spirit of God, Nicodemus. In other words, you got the head knowledge, but you don't have the heart knowledge. Nicodemus was such a Pharisee, and they always had clarity about everything. And any new idea that entered in, they were going to check it out, because it was always a hard concept to grasp. They seemed unable to bear the weight of these preconceived ideas of Jesus, that somehow the holy could come in a different way. Well, back to my car. I got my Taurus, Ford Taurus, back from the body shop, and it was a total makeover. There was no dents, not in the front, not in the back, not on the sides. I wanted to hug that guy that did the work, because you are not like the adjuster, right? You're like God, right? God is going to have a total makeover. You know, Jesus said you need to be born from above. So my car was born from above. It was done right, huh? You see, what Nicodemus had such a hard time understanding was the concept that God, he didn't want an inventory of our dents or our scrapes or our scratches or the things that are in our heart of the lives of the faithful people. God doesn't want that. What God wants is he wants to make everyone new. God doesn't demand a story behind your fender bender. God doesn't pick up and choose which sins he's going to forgive and which he's not. God, you see, wants to give us new birth through the water and the Spirit that makes us new creations, right? That's the heart knowledge. You know, I can't think of a better illustration than baptism, right? Just out of curiosity, any of you were adult? Any of you were baptized as adults? We got one, yeah. I love baptism, however it happens, right? But, you know, when you take that little, precious little baby, right? You know really what we're doing, right? I'm drowning you, killing you, and raising you up to new life, right? And that's why I like adult baptisms, because guess what they do as a rule? In the Army, I got to do some full immersions or whoop, down in and up again, right? And if you're really sinful, we'd probably dunk you 3 times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? But this is the prayer that we say. We say, we give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you gave your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse them from sin and raise them to eternal life. Sustain them with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. And we say, Amen. You see, through this new birth, our relationship with God through Christ takes on much more deeper and more complete meaning as we live with God through all the experiences of our lives. And we find that God is very gracious and God is very forgiving and that God loves all people. A number of years ago, I had this couple. They were so excited that someday they got married and that they would have children and stuff. And, well, they found out that she could not have children. And you know how God works. You can't have children, huh? Yes, you are. She became pregnant. Woo-hoo! They called me. They were so excited. And she gave birth to this little baby girl. And they said, oh, we can hardly wait to show her off to you. And, well, they brought her home, and then they had to go in for the first checkup. And on the very first checkup, something's wrong. Your baby's not going home. Your baby has to stay here. You see, the baby had jaundice. Are you familiar with jaundice? Any of you had jaundice? Yeah. And she looks back and she goes, you know, I took pictures of this baby when it was born. And when I look at it now, I go, oh my gosh, I could see in the pictures that my baby was ill. I have such guilt that I just didn't take the baby right in immediately to the doctor, you know, to get the proper care. Why didn't I see the signs and call a doctor? I wish I could take back that part of that little precious girl's life and have a redo, a restart over. But she goes, you know, I can't. I can't. I can't go back and rebirth our daughter's less than ideal 2 weeks of life. Can't do it. When she said that, it just brought to my mind, well, neither can we. We can't go back and redo the many difficult trials and adversities that we've had in life, right? Loss, addiction, disappointment, heartbreak. And we can be filled with all kinds of guilt and regret and longing, right? And you know the worst part about it is? Too often, we want to hold on too tight to those feelings. Even when God is ready to take them away, to give us a new start, a new paint job. You know, when we hit Easter, right? When Christ is risen, he does a redo for all creation, for you and I. No, we cannot go back and wipe away our past. What we can do is we can be reborn of the water and the Spirit. Jesus doesn't promise us a redo at our birth, right? And I think one thing about the gospel writer, he wanted to shock people just like he did Nicodemus. Really? You want to crawl up into your mother's womb again and be born again? I think that's pretty gross. But we got what you're thinking there. Yeah. But when we're reborn through the Spirit, we can overcome all the physical world blows that come our way. And we can live our lives freely, fully remade, with the knowledge and experience that we have a living God that walks with us. Now, what's really interesting when you study this text, there's something significant that happens. On that night conversation with Nicodemus, the Pharisees all wrapped up on these other things, and then comes that famous verse that we all know, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. I think that's pretty significant. And I think the significance is because the encounter with Nicodemus came just before this beloved scripture. It wasn't until Nicodemus believed this one truth that it would be difficult, if not impossible, for him to hear or believe anything else. The same God that offered the people of Israel the beautiful laws of the prophets that the Pharisees so dutifully live by, God has also offered us the greatest gift of all, that is his Son, and that is the gift of love. Eugene Peterson wrote lots of different books, but obviously he's probably most known for The Message, and you've probably read it. This is what he says about verse 17. He said, God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. O God of the day and night, come to us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us new life by water and the Spirit. Remake, reshape, and renew us through your sacrificial love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue our worship with the next hymn. Confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now let us pray for the faithfulness of the church, the life of the world, and for all those in need. Almighty God, in your most precious word, you speak to us the words of life. As we seek to serve you day by day, grant us the grace to seek first that which cannot be taken from us, the salvation that you have given us in Jesus Christ. May we stand in confidence at the foot of his cross, listening as he speaks to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of majesty, sustain us through our Lenten journey of renewal, reflection, and repentance. Keep us faithful in our spiritual discipline so that as we experience your presence, you draw us more deeply into the center of your love. Grant us a holy and blessed Lent. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Spirit of strength, protect us with your love so that we might proclaim your glory to all nations. Be present in those countries that struggle to attain freedom from tyranny and from prosecution and safety from violence. Keep us mindful of our connection with our neighbors in every land, and help us to work for justice and dignity for all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy and mighty God, around the world your children suffer in mind, body, and spirit. We pray that you will pour out the healing power of your grace and love and strengthen and give comfort to all who are in pain, grief, or suffering, anxiety. And now we pray especially for those that we name aloud and silently in our hearts.
For Judy and Jean.
Lord God, we pray that we may be your presence for those who suffer and for those who provide care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, Almighty God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks to you, gracious God, especially during this Lenten season as it prepares us to receive your Son and know the great love that he has for each of us by dying on the cross, and by you raising him up, and for him living with us. And we praise your name, and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord and Savior Jesus, he took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Amen. Let us join as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated and the ushers will direct you forward. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may continue to strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join them.
Thankful hearts and voices raise to everyone what God has done. Let all who see the Lord rejoice and bear Christ's holy name. Send us with your promise.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Almighty God, you provide the true bread from heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Grant that we who have received the sacrament of his body and blood may abide in him and he in us, that we may be filled with the power of his endless life, now and forever.
Amen.
Receive the benediction. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join as we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand.
Thanks be to God.